Okay. For Your Ears Only by Bartle Sawbridge. Recession, depression, what does it matter? I lost my girlfriend in July, I lost my job in September, and I lost an ear last Wednesday. My best ear, the left one. So I have to turn my head when people are talking to me, and I can't write proper sentences anymore. That was then, but it couldn't stay that way. I finally went to see Peter, who I was at school with. He's my doctor. I went to see him as my doctor, not because we were at school together. He looked in my ear and said it was full of wax and prescribed me some ear drops. If they didn't work, it might mean surgery. When I asked him what that involved, he said they would probably take the side of my skull off, sort the ear out, and stitch it all back together again. I couldn't tell if he was joking. Eardrops never work. How can you lie on your side for hours without doing anything? I went back a week later, and Peter had another idea. He has recently become interested in psychosomatics, which I always thought was imagining you are ill when you aren't. But it's also about sorting out physical problems by psychological means. Peter was invited to a reception in a smart bar in town that a sculptor friend of his had organised to launch a new project of his. I should come along too. He would let me find out what it was about when I arrived, as the surprise might help. What it seemed to be about when we got there was drinking sparkling wine, eating nibbles and chatting. I could do the first two quite well, but I couldn't hear anything with so many people talking at once. The only time was when the host, Brett, stood up on a little stage and called for order that I could actually hear something. He said that his new project was to sculpt ears, and he'd been round the bar selecting a representative range. He hoped that the people whose names he'd read out would agree to model for him. Now, it was at this point that Peter thought that my hearing would return, he told me afterwards. He knew that I didn't like putting myself forward, being noticed, and that the fear of being selected might act as a curative. Well, Brett didn't select me, and my hearing didn't come back, but it might have done if he had. Apparently, the models had to remove all their clothing. Even though they were only modelling their ears, Brett said that he needed a sense of the whole person to be able to give the ears their proper character. That would have shocked me. Then I got an email from Julie, my ex, saying that she never wanted to see me again. Now, I don't know why she bothered. She'd said that to me last time we met. And that she couldn't imagine why she'd agreed to go out with me for so long. 5 months, in fact. And it was I who said that we weren't yet ready for sex. And telling me to look at her new photo on Facebook. She said quite a lot more. Many of the words with asterisks in. Mostly untrue. I shouldn't have gone into Facebook. She still had that wavy blonde hair and bright eyes, but she was cuddling with Travis, that creep who always hangs around us in the pub. Peter phoned me to say that if I wouldn't take common sense measures, like using eardrops, there was little more he could do for me. He had explained at the reception that the surgery idea was indeed a joke. Nothing much happened for months. Even my dreams became boring. I've always looked forward to dreaming. However bad the day has been, you know that you may find yourself in the middle of a really exciting story. Now, I was always in a room full of people who were obviously having good time and making witty remarks, but I couldn't hear what they were saying. Sometimes I was even outside the house in the cold, looking in through the window. During the days, I looked for work if I had the energy, and I came home one from another job interview for a cleaner's job at the bookmakers. There was a recorded message on the phone from Peter. One last chance, mate. Breck's exhibition opens at the Crystal Gallery on Tuesday. I'll see you there. Do you know, I hadn't expected to hear from him again after I'd let him down. But he does still owe me £10 from our last term at school, and I think he feels guilty. The Crystal Gallery is amazing. The outside is all glass, and silver lights in the eaves flood it at night. But inside the foyer, it's dark, and you can't see out at all, just dimly lit in the ceiling. The exhibition was up a few stairs, through double doors, where everything was clear and light again. Beside the entrance to the exhibition was a huge bronze tongue hung from the walls, ticking out at you, with "Please touch me" below it. Well, I thought it was an ears exhibition, but I touched it anyway, and then stroked it gently with both my hands. Inside, the walls were covered with ears, life-size and at head height, all of them firmly attached to the partitions along the gallery walls. There were untreated oak ones, skin-coloured clay ones, bright stainless steel ones, a retro Bakelite one, a balsa wood one, painted bright green, a small glass one, a huge cauliflower ear carved in chalk next to a tiny seashell ear in copper, even a natural hollow pumice stone pretending to be an ear. I recognised a lot of the people that had been at the reception wearing the same clothes, or similar clothes, designer jeans with silk shirts. Now most of them were licking ears like mad. Little bowls with lemon juice in them had been placed beside each ear, and you wipe the ear with the juice before and after licking it. Well, I didn't lick any myself. One woman was trying to get her partner to kiss his own ear. He was cool, tall and dark-haired, but he wouldn't. He went quiet and cold, and he wouldn't kiss his own ear. It was gunmetal and beautifully made, one of the best, I think. There was another person who stood well away from the ears, looking as if she was afraid of being held and forced to lick one if she came too close. She was wearing woolen tights and a grey and pink checked skirt and grey top, and I thought I might introduce myself later. On the second time round, I noticed something I'd missed, an unfilled hole where there should have been an ear, like the fourth plinth at Trafalgar Square. At the same moment, I realised that Peter hadn't arrived, but it didn't matter, I was having such a good time, it was thinking of him that gave me a plan. The empty hole was obviously intended for an ear, so I went around the back of the partition and I put my left ear through the hole. It was odd because, of course, I couldn't see what was happening in the room. But I didn't get any licks, and after a few minutes it was starting to get silly. Just as I was deciding to give up, I felt something warm and fleshlight enter my ear and start to probe around. I could sense the wax melting and the tongue, if that's what it was, coming deeper and deeper as if it was about to enter my mouth and meet my tongue. Then it was gone, and I could hear all the people chattering. I stood undecided, hoping that maybe the tongue would come back for more. It didn't. And finally, I pulled my ear out of the hole and went back to the front of the partition to find out who had cured my deafness. It was awful. Everyone was standing in a semicircle, staring at the ear hole. And as I came out, they started clapping and cheering, some of them laughing. "Never been an installation before," quipped the not-so-cool man who wouldn't even lick his own ear. "Who was it?" I asked. I was meant to sound grateful and passionate, but it came out like a blurt. "That's for you to discover," a voice from the back said. I went to the toilet to prepare a plan. Whoever it was must be a kind person and fancy me. I would start with the woman I fancied most, and then the next, and so on, until I found the right one. Earlier I had spotted a gorgeous woman with tight jeans and an inch of dark skin between them and her revealing top. "May I see your tongue, please?" "Of course," she said. But what she stuck out was disappointingly short. It could not have been her. The second one, a tall blonde, had a longer tongue, but it was fat and inflexible. It couldn't have crept around all my oral crevices. As I was making my choices, I realised that there's a lot more you can miss by just looking at people's faces and figures. If tongue showing was made compulsory, there would be a lot fewer unhappy marriages. There were a room full of good lookers, so I wasn't despondent when I got to number 8. But when I asked her to open up, she blushed and said, "Have you met my husband, Peter?" And there he was, just behind her. "Oh, hello, Peter," I said. I thought you weren't coming. Not doing too well, are you? He said. I can hear again, and I'll soon find her. Why do you think it was a woman? I was flabbergasted. You wouldn't. No, he said, I didn't, but why wouldn't I? Would you like to see my tongue? This was the loser man, and he must have heard our conversation. No, loser, and your teeth aren't straight, I heard myself saying. He looked shocked, and all his group started laughing. That made me even more determined. People were starting to leave, so I hurried around, ignoring the girl with the woolen tights. Most of the tongues weren't right, and the owners of the few possibles denied responsibility when I asked them directly. In the end, I was left with the shy girl. She was looking at the ear of an old man in pink and red painted porcelain. I leaned over her shoulder and asked quietly, "Can I see your tongue, please?" "Not in public." She turned round and said, "Can you bend down a little? I want to whisper something." She was that short. I did as she asked, and her perfect tongue entered my right ear and started to tour around. "I haven't been deaf in that one," I whispered. "What are you doing after this?" she asked. "I was about to ask you the same thing." "But it can't have been you. You're too shy even to lick the sculpted tongues." "I'll tell you on the way." We went down the street and started talking, and I told her how she had cured my deafness. "I was desperate to lift the others," she said, "but I couldn't reach. That's why I was standing in the middle of the room. But I had to have yours. So I went round the whole building till I found a man to lend me a stool. And then everything was just fine. And the rest is silence." No, that's not right, is it? We both laughed, although I don't quite know why.